I'm Natalie Liu, and you're listening to the Baggage Reclaim Sessions. Hello, hello. How are you doing? A few weeks back in episode 216, I shared the truth about breakups because I see how so many people struggle to make sense of why a relationship ended. And even when they've actually happily moved on to another relationship, the residue of past relationships where they've internalized blame and shame about the ending of that relationship continues to linger on, affecting their self-esteem, potentially even affecting their perception of what they can and can't do in a current relationship. Now, what's interesting is that in the weeks since then, I've heard from a number of people who said, okay, but what about like that whole thing, you know, that book and even the film? He's just not that into you. So as a refresher, the year before I started Baggage Reclaim, so 2004, the infamous book, I mean, major bestseller, He's Just Not That Into You, came out. And it was written by, I think it's Greg Bernhardt and Liz Tequillo, and they had both worked on Sex and the City. Greg, I think, was a consultant on the show, I think, for about 3 seasons. Liz, I think, was a writer. And in the writer's room, there was a conversation taking place one day. I think one of the women was having trouble with a guy that she was seeing. Some of the other women were like, oh, well, you know, maybe he's shy, maybe he's just got a lot going on, give it a bit more time, be patient, whatever, you know, that type of advice that we have often given each other. And then Greg chimed in and he's like, actually, he's just not that into you. And there was like a, oh, like, tell me more. And that sparked the episode where, remember Berger, the one who was dating Carrie and then basically broke up with her with a post-it note saying, I'm sorry, I can't do this. Well, when he hears Miranda making excuses about this guy, you know, that she had been dating, he basically says to her, he's just not that into you. And it was revelatory for women in particular to get this advice, because pretty much all relationship advice was geared around this idea: if something isn't right, you just need to give it more time, be more patient, put on some sexy underwear, try harder, you know, pull out all the right sex moves. And actually, society has taught us that basically you need to know how to keep a man. So if things are not going right, if your needs are not being met, if they're stepping out on you, it's because you've not done enough. You're not meeting his needs. You're not the right woman. You're not a good woman. You're not his queen. Now, what is great about that book and really the intent behind the message of he's just not that into you, or yes, she's just not that into you, is that it fundamentally got across that accepting disrespect of any kind, not good, not cool. Like, don't go there. Like, we are worth more than that. The reason, though, that I have heard from thousands of people over the years, though, about this idea that the reason why somebody is behaving the way that they are, i.e. in a way that we don't like, or in a way that is not leading to the relationship that we want, is because they are not into us. And that is fine when we're looking purely at interest, okay? Because as I talked about in episode 160, interest is a hypothesis. It's not a contract. So the fact that somebody asked us out on a date does not mean that they are contractually obliged to turn that into a relationship, to have more interest. Like, we make up why we're interested in someone. People unfold. We have to actually get to know who someone is in a romantic relationship context to find out actually how interested we are. And also, people are interested in all sorts of things. So somebody can be interested in us, but not actually interested in, for instance, what we want, which might be a relationship. Or if we want something casual and they want a relationship, then yeah, there's a difference in interest. So in that context, this idea of, well, they're not calling, texting, they're not asking us out, they're not wanting whatever's going on between us to be out in the open. Yeah, okay. They're just not that into us. However, where I think things become pretty murky with this notion of somebody being just not that into us is that there's something baked into that phrasing. There's this implication of enough. They're just not that into us. They could be more, but they're not. And so the reason why they are behaving in the way that they are, that they're saying what they are or doing what they are or not saying or not doing it, is because there isn't enough interest on their end of things to cause them to think, feel, and behave differently. And so what happens is they're just not that into you becomes conflated with you're just not that good enough. It is true that if someone is not asking us out, if they're not showing consistent and respectful interest, if they're not calling and texting us back, if they're not available, if they're not willing to be out in the open with us, if they are not willing to start and build a relationship, to see us in broad daylight, to not be, yeah, drunk or high every time they engage with us, then yeah, we can say, okay, they're not interested enough. They're just not that into us. We can also say there's not enough going on. So if these things are not happening, if this is the way that someone is behaving, then there's not enough going on to proceed. There's not enough going on to co-create a relationship. If someone that we're dating, that we're in a relationship, isn't showing up mutually, if they're not respecting our boundaries, if they're not willing to communicate, they are just not that into a relationship. There isn't enough space to co-create a mutually fulfilling relationship with love, care, trust, and respect. The thing about they're just not that into you is put against the context of us having been raised in a society that tells us that everything is predicated on how enough you are. That if you just try hard enough, life bends to your will. People say, do, and think, and feel what you want. This then feeds into this notion that if we're not getting what we want, it's because we have done something wrong, that we have not tried hard enough. And I talk about this in episode 130, and I'll make sure I link to this in the show notes, which will be at baggagereclaim.co.uk/222. So I talked about dating anxiety and how because so many of us, especially women, have been socialized to be people pleasers. And so we've been taught that we have to be kind and sweet and meek and mild and not make waves, and that everybody else's needs come after our own. And if we think of ourselves and we practice self-care, then that is selfish. We've been told if you work hard, you'll get the grades. If you get the grades, you'll please the teacher and your parents and, I don't know, the church or your peers or whoever. Even if you're not the brightest, like, just keep working hard because that will please people. And then if you do all of that, then you will go off to university or you'll get the job. And then when you do all of that, then you will get the house and the car and the relationship and the kids. And basically, life will go your way. You will be safe and secure. Well, newsflash, a hell of a lot of us have done these things and we have not got, for instance, the relationship, or we have got the relationship, but it sucks. Or we have got all of those things and we're miserable, right? Because we've been told if you tick these proverbial boxes, then everything will be okay. But there are also plenty of us that have based our entire existence around pleasing others, around being consumed by others. We live for other people's consumption. What do you need? What do you want? I like what you like. And even though we've oriented our entire existence around everyone else, we feel like nothing is ever enough. And the thing about dating and relationships in particular is that when we take this mentality of, if I just push and push and push and please and please and please and give and give and give and take on all the responsibilities, that all of that efforting will turn itself into the relationship that I want, that I will be chosen, that I will be happy. And so we will bust a gut trying at dating and relationships. And we will be like, well, I've gone on however amount of dates this year, or I've put up with however many situations, or I've tried anything and everything to get this person to love me. Look at how much effort I have put in, and yet I'm not experiencing the outcomes that I want. And this efforting, which goes beyond, you know, putting in effort and trying, but actually links this notion of, if I just push and push and push and keep going way beyond my boundaries and bandwidth, I will get what I want out of this, causes us actually to burn out on dating and relationships. That actually causes us just to burn out on our interpersonal relationships in general. And even when then we look at how we flip that attitude into how we live and work and rest or don't rest, and I talked about this in episodes 219 and 220, this same efforting, this same I have to push and push and push and please and please and please, and I have to basically exist for others and I can't literally think of my own boundaries and bandwidth, also causes us to burn out, also causes us to be miserable. Because even though we are, yeah, probably getting better results there, because at work and with things like exercise, we can see results quicker. So if we want to go and spend all our time exercising or all our time working, even though there are going to be some other potentially difficult consequences from over-exercise or from overworking, we will say to ourselves, well, at least I can see how my efforts generate outcomes. However, of course, going back to the dating and relationships aspect, when we apply that same attitude to work, that same over sort of dating, over relationship mentality does not bear fruit. What we end up finding is that because we go into dating and relationships from a place of choose me, choose me, choose me, I must audition, I am not worthy, I have to prove that I have earned the rights to you behaving better than you are, or that I've earned the right to get the relationship that I need, desire, and deserve, we are already on the back foot. So when we're told they're just not that into you, he's just not that into you, she's just not that into you, it bakes in this notion that the reason for their behavior, including what may be ambivalence, ambiguity, blowing hot and cold, mismatched actions and words, future faking, fast forwarding, gaslighting, using us, entitlement, flaking out, controlling, being creepy, intense, presumptuous, that all of these things are symptomatic of their desire for us, our attractiveness being lacking. It feeds the idea that in particular, a man becomes a different kind of man with the right woman or with the right person who's earned their stripes. It taps into this idea that every person, but especially men, is waiting for the right person to come along so that they will be better, so that they will basically spontaneously combust into being emotionally available. So it taps again into this really pervasive misconception that the reason why somebody is emotionally unavailable isn't because of what's going on in their interior, isn't because of the way that they don't express and acknowledge and process their feelings. No, it's because we are not enough. Someone can not be into you and also not mistreat you. So we have to be very careful of conflating what is at best someone's emotional unavailability and at worst someone's downright shady behavior with lack of interest, desire, or attractiveness. Women, let's just go back to this for a moment, have been socialized to be consumed, to perform, to please. And historically, and it is still rife today, when we are cheated on, we have been told that it is the failure of the woman. And this isn't just that men say this, it's that women actually say this about other women. So we as a society have learned that, oh, if you're being cheated on, it's because you're not enough. You've done something wrong. You didn't treat your man right. You weren't meeting their needs. When actually there's way more to cheating than that, but also laying the blame on the person who's been cheated on, that's not fair. And, you know, you see this mentality when, for instance, you say that you want to end your relationship. And I think that this is particularly prevalent in older age groups, like, for instance, in my parents and grandparents' generation and above. And if you said, I want to break up from this person, or I want to, you know, end my marriage, or I'm not interested in this person, they beating you? Are they cheating on you? Like, what's going on? And you go, no. Well, what are you leaving for then? Like, that's the only reason why you could basically ever leave a relationship or actually say that there was a problem with it. It is true that if somebody wants to keep it casual, that if they are wishy-washy, that they wanted to break up with us, then they just weren't as into us as they needed to be for us to actually experience compatibility and having our emotional needs met, something that I talk about in episode 209. They just weren't into the relationship that we wanted. And that's okay. Relationships are about compatibility and our emotional needs being met. So if that wasn't working for them, even though we may not have fully registered that yet, it can't have been working for us in some way. We may have actually been prepared to settle for less than what we need, desired, and deserve. And as I talked about in episode 216, the one about the truth about breakups, a relationship is not a reward for good behavior or a reward for stellar performance. So this idea that the reason why we're not getting the relationship that we want, or the reason why we've broken up, is that we've not performed well enough, that we've not been good enough, is completely flawed. However, and there is a however here, if we tend to settle, to play down or straight up hide our needs, if we tend to opt for casual, if we tend to opt to be in unavailable relationships, we're just not that into that person either. Yeah. So there is so much focus on, what does this person think of me? Do they want to be in a relationship with me? Why don't they want me? And I don't think that as humans, we spend enough time going, hold on a second, what do I think of myself? What do I think of them? Sometimes it's actually not that we are even into the person who we have decided is not into us. We just want to know why they're not into us, because we can't handle this idea that somebody said no, that somebody didn't want to have a relationship, that by the way that we have processed it, that we were not enough in some way because they didn't want to pursue a relationship with us, even though they also weren't right for us either. Is it really about interest? Because you know what? Plenty of us have experience of somebody being interested in us, but also not really being able to show up intimately in the relationship, not being able to meet our needs. If they only want to see you for sex or in the middle of the night, or basically whenever you engage with them, it's always about leading you up to sex, then they are unavailable and they're also only really interested in sex. If they're always drunk or high whenever you see them, it's possible that they tend to escape themselves. That, yeah, maybe they have a substance abuse problem, or maybe they just have this habit of numbing themselves out. That makes them unavailable. That's nothing to do with how interesting you are as a person. If they turn out to be fresh out of a relationship and not over their ex, or they're still in a relationship, the reason is that they are otherwise engaged, that they are still preoccupied elsewhere. That's nothing to do with your worthiness. That's because they are unavailable. And if they are still in a relationship with someone else, it's not your job to try to prove that you are better than the other person, that you are more worthy, that you can do them right, give them everything that they need better than the other person. The reason why they're doing what they're doing, and so they're still caught up in their other relationship, is because they are avoiding intimacy, escaping themselves, and breaking their commitments. They're not trying to send a message to you about how wantable you are. If they ghosted, it's because, like pretty much everyone on the planet, they have a problem with boundaries, and specifically with saying no. It's not a you problem. Take note though, emotionally unavailable people, especially if they're ambivalent, ambiguous, passive aggressive, dropping hints, conflict avoidant, you know, communication avoidant, very intense, and then backing off and all that type of carry on, they're very likely to ghost. Those types of habits mean that when the rubber needs to hit the road and they have to be direct about what's actually going on, they'd rather ghost than actually have to deal with you. If you broke up, whichever way you slice it, that's about incompatibility. If you want different things, if your needs are not met, if they don't think that your needs or boundaries are valid, that's a boundary and compatibility issue, not a problem with your worthiness. I think that where so many of us struggle with they're just not that into you is that it pairs what is unavailability and, yes, in some instances, straight up assholery with interest, period. So for instance, we will meet somebody and maybe it's like they're, you know, pretty intense initially and it seems like so promising, and then we sleep with them and then there's the blowing hot and cold. And then, for instance, they disappear or it fizzles out. And then a few months, maybe a year, maybe even longer goes by. And then they come back in and they say, oh, you know, I'm sorry about how I behaved before. I had this problem, that problem, whatever problem. And we accept that. We get involved with them again. For instance, we sleep with them again. And then they do the same thing all over again. And when we say that that's about interest, about that person being just not that into us, we're missing a trick here. In fact, what we really should be saying here is, this is an open and shut case of assholery, judgment in favor of the plaintiff. Something that we have to recognize, not just about people in general, but in the context of this episode about dating and relationships, is that when people are showing us who they are, they're showing us their boundaries. Even though they might be showing us those boundaries in very messy and crappy ways. When we experience this confusing, conflicting, ambivalent, ambiguous, sometimes downright painful carry-on in these situations, that person is saying no without actually coming out straight and saying no. They are clumsily, yeah, sometimes crappily going about trying to communicate their boundaries, but not doing it in an assertive way. So not doing it in a respectful way, doing it in a round houses way. Sometimes it's just that they want to avoid conflict. And sometimes it's about, let me try to get all of the fringe benefits of dating or of a relationship without actually having to step up. What we have to recognize is that the world doesn't bend to our goodness and vision. So it is not the case that, for instance, we date someone and because we were well-behaved and attractive and basically from our point of view, we didn't do anything wrong, then ipso facto, we should see them again. Or that we are entitled to a relationship or that the person should be who we want them to be. And it's okay for us to be disappointed when interest doesn't pan into something else, when people behave in ways that, yeah, leave us feeling disrespected, leave us feeling like, yeah, rejected. However, it's also okay for someone to say no, to not be interested. And I know that we also have this attitude of, yeah, but why can't they say no properly? Why can't they turn around and say no, like, respectfully? Why do they have to go and pull all of these shenanigans? I hear you. I have felt very much the same way. However, we've all grown up in the same world where none of us were actually taught about boundaries properly while we were growing up. And we also didn't learn about how to go about creating healthy relationships and, yes, respecting other people's boundaries. And we are all guilty of telling people what we think they want to hear. And we are all guilty of dropping hints. And we are all guilty of avoiding conflict and criticism. And so, yes, in an ideal world, somebody would not start a relationship or start dating us when they know full well that they don't really want a relationship, or that they're not over their ex, or that, yeah, they're shady as hell or whatever. But that's not how things work in real life. So what we have to recognize is that we must not accept subpar behavior. If we're serious about being in a serious relationship, if we're serious about giving and receiving love, care, trust, and respect, we mustn't accept subpar treatment, and we have to be willing to step away from it when we recognize that somebody is not engaging with us in a mutual fashion. When we accept that subpar treatment, that doesn't mean that we're responsible for what the other person is doing, but it is telling us that we're just not that into ourselves. And when we can acknowledge that, it's like, oh, I don't value myself enough, or I don't think that I'm worth more than what I've been settling for, then at least we can start to become curious about that and shift the narrative around that. And I want to emphasize here, all of the relationship advice that has existed has very much been around be a people pleaser. Like, do what the other person wants. If you're doing enough, if you're being enough, if you're attractive enough, if you're sexy enough, if you'll give up however many boundaries, you will get what you want. And if you don't, well, just keep trying harder. And we are all experiencing the legacy of that. So we need to cut ourselves some slack and recognize, hold on a second, what is it that I have internalized? I think also that if there is this tendency to be like, what did I do wrong? So when there is a gap in contact, a gap in interest, when somebody doesn't want a relationship, if your first instinct is, what's wrong with me? I'm not good enough. The world is out to get me, all of that stuff. That's an opening to explore where that is coming from. As someone who's experienced a lot of that, one of the things that's been really interesting for me is to acknowledge that because of various different experiences that I had earlier on in life, and that's what makes me the recovering people pleaser and perfectionist and overgiver and over responsible person that I am, I tend to fill in gaps with anxiety about, well, maybe I've done something wrong, because that's what I learned to do as a child. And if that's something that's familiar to you, noticing this, being really, really aware of that pattern allows you to get grounded and to differentiate between the past and the present, to actually start talking you through that and realizing, hold on a second, that's actually not true of this situation. I'm not that kid anymore. If it's the case that actually in other contexts, so outside of romantic situations, you don't tend to blame yourself, but you do in romantic situations, that's because of all of what you've internalized about romantic relationships and the habits that you've built up along the way. And then you can ask yourself, well, what's the difference between, for instance, me at work or me around friends and family, and me in a romantic situation? Why is it that in any other situation, I would be like, hold on a second, let's look at the facts of what's going on here. Or, hey, actually, that type of behavior is not acceptable. Or, hey, actually, if that's the way that they feel, then do you know what? I don't want to be a part of that. But instead, when it comes to dating and relationships, when that happens, it's like, oh my God, what did I do wrong? What did I screw up? That's an opening for a conversation with yourself where you get to explore why that might be, what blame you're carrying around. And I talk about this in episode 216, the one about the truth about breakups. And I also share some tips as well in episode 187 about breaking the lather, rinse, repeat of the dating cycle. The thing that we ultimately have to remember is that when somebody is unavailable, for whatever reason that might be, that unavailability is about what's going on inside of them, not about us. When somebody is unavailable, they're barely into themselves. They're not into intimacy. So rather than making it a, what did I do wrong? Why aren't I enough? Somebody who is unavailable, and yeah, let's bring in the shady, somebody who is behaving shadily, they're not interested in actual love, care, trust, and respect. They're not interested in things being mutual. They're not interested in intimacy. They're not interested in moving a relationship forward. They're not interested in developing a communication, in learning to overcome conflict. They're not interested in respecting your boundaries, because all of those things require intimacy. In my first book, Mr. Unavailable and the Fallback Girl, I talk about how we go through this internal anxiety. Is it something I said? Is it something I did? What can I do to make them change back into who I thought they were? Am I going crazy? We also go through this whole thing of, oh, maybe they're being this way because they're shy. Maybe I just like need to try harder. Maybe I just need to want less. We wonder if we are too needy, whether we are too sensitive, whether we are difficult, whether we are demanding, whether we are a psycho. We pride ourselves on being low maintenance, low drama. We need to stop with all of this. We need to stop with the auditioning and carrying on. We need to stop making up stories. We need to stop making up stories about somebody's seeming lack of interest or their emotional unavailability or their shadiness. And instead, what we need to recognize is actually, okay, yeah, maybe they're just not that into us. But actually, on the basis of what we're experiencing, we're also receiving very clear feedback that there isn't enough going on to justify us continuing at the level of investment that we are. That there isn't enough going on for us to be as interested as we are. That there isn't enough going on for us to be trying to proceed to a relationship. That it's time for us to come back to Earth. When we do this, we can actually take care of ourselves. We can stop making it about, oh, I need to audition and perform and convince, and I need to basically be whatever somebody else wants me to be. And instead, we can come from a place of being more of who we really are. And so coming from a place of love, care, trust, and respect, so that we can recognize when we are actually being treated in this way by someone, and then know that we are actually safe in proceeding because we are building our relationships on a foundation of expecting, at the very least, for someone to be showing up in a mutually loving, caring, trusting, and respectful fashion. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time, and take care of you. Thank you for joining me for this episode. If you'd like to say hi or let me know what you thought of an episode, the best place to get a hold of me is on Instagram at NatLue. That's NatLue. I can also be reached via email at podcast@baggagereclaim.com, or you can also find me on Twitter and Facebook. And links to these are in the show notes at baggagereclaim.co.uk/222. Did you know that aside from the Baggage Reclaim Sessions podcast, that I also write a blog which has more than 1,600 blog posts on subjects like emotional unavailability, boundary breakups, how to distinguish a healthy relationship from an unhealthy one, and how to basically be more you and live and love with your self-esteem in tow. You can also find out about courses that I teach online and upcoming classes, as well as things like my ebooks and audio sessions. All of this is at baggagereclaim.co.uk. You can find all previous episodes of the podcast at baggagereclaim.co.uk/podcasts, which also includes instructions on how to subscribe, as well as how to rate and review the show.
I appreciate anything you can do that helps to spread the word about the show. If you know somebody that would benefit from this show or from the blog, please forward it on to them. Or yes, rate and review it in your podcast player, because it really does help to amplify the podcast and get the message out.